Jesus said, "Blessed are the persecuted," and they are suffering big time right now. This is Bible League International, and 19-year-old Aria was beaten by her own father and violated by local authorities. You know what her crime was? Simply that she gave her life to Jesus Christ after leaving radical Islam. They need Bibles in order to endure and persevere. And that's why Truth Network and Bible League are teamed up to send God's Word to 3,500 persecuted believers around the world at $5 a Bible. $100 sends 20. Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD. Word 800 yes word or give at truthnetwork.com.
Hello, this is Will Hardy with Man Talk Radio. We are all about breaking down the walls of race and denomination. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few minutes. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Gentlemen, the following contest is set for one fall. Introducing first, from Lithuania, he weighs 123 kilos, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Koloff.
Welcome to another episode, Q&A with Koloff, the Devil's Nightmare. And today, I've got a special interview, Chris Whaley. Chris, welcome to the Q&A show with Koloff.
Hey, man, this is great to be able to turn the channels there and ask you questions. I think that's pretty awesome.
Absolutely. And Chris Whaley, a.k.a. the Masked Saint. There's a whole story behind that. We'll give you a condensed version on the Q&A show, but the Masked Saint, Chris, a pastor, a professional wrestler, and a vigilante, all rolled up into one package here, but also a husband, a father, a grandfather. Chris, let's just start with a little backdrop on your family, and you're calling in today from the Sunshine State. Tell our listeners who Chris Whaley is.
Well, I'm a guy that has been blessed beyond measure in so many different ways. Grew up in Florida in a very poor family, sickly kid, in and out of the hospital. God finally got that under control, and when I was growing up, one of my big things was watching professional wrestling, Eddie Graham, the great Malenko, and all those guys. And after my mom came to know the Lord and things changed in our home, started going to church, met the young lady that ultimately would become my wife for 47 years, and got to graduate from college with her. We have two wonderful daughters. We're married to godly young men, six grandchildren. Had the opportunity to wrestle for 10 years and have been a pastor since 1988. And I'm still speaking everywhere I get the opportunity. I preached last Sunday and the Sunday before. And just looking forward to every opportunity that God gives me.
Wow. Well, it's quite a resume, and somewhat I can relate to a lot of your story, really, in the sense of, you know, talking about growing up, you know, in a poor home. You know, as I grew up in welfare, grew up in the projects of Minneapolis, and in my case, a single mom, but with several siblings, and four daughters. You got two, I got four, you got six grandkids. I just had recently my 10th, my daughter Kendra. Wow. And her husband Brandon out in Suffering for Jesus out in Maui, Hawaii.
Wow.
just had their second daughter, and then of course the wrestling, or as we've known in the South, the wrestling, right? Yeah. You've heard that once or twice, right? Hey, ain't you one of them wrestlers?
Yeah.
But then the ministry and just, so there is a lot of relatability there, but I want to highlight one thing you said, because I remember, you know, you've shared some of your story with me before, And if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, but you battled polio when you were a youngster. Is that's one of the physical infirmities you had, right? Polio?
Right. I was in the fourth grade and had polio. I was in the hospital for 3 months. I used to say my mom and dad bought the second floor at the Winter Haven Hospital because I was in there so long. But, you know, had a wonderful, godly doctor who was able, with God's help, to get me back on the road to recovery. It was rough. Had to learn to walk all over again. But, you know, I made it. Very, very, very blessed and thankful for everything that God has done for me.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Nikita Koloff, and I am here with a huge announcement, like big, big announcement. Man Up Men's Conference, Morningstar Ministries, Fort Mill, South Carolina, August 25th to the 27th. You're thinking that's a ways away. No, not too soon to sign up. What a lineup of speakers we have. The Benham brothers, David and Jason Benham. All-star, NBA All-star Al Wood is speaking. World Wrestling Champion, the Total Package Lex Luger, Chris Reed, Rick Joyner, Delta Force Commander, General, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, retired. Yours truly, Nikita Koloff, world-renowned evangelist Frank Shelton. Register today. It is live. MStar Events, mstarevents.com/manup. Go get registered today. You will not want to miss this event.
All feet agree, Clemens Carpet is where you need to be. With carpet, vinyl, tile, and hardwood from the top brands, Clemens Carpet does it right from beginning to install. Voted number one by you in the Reader's Choice Awards. Doug, Chad, Benny, Pee-wee, and the team at Clemens Carpet look forward to seeing and serving you soon.
This is Nikita Koloff, and I want to thank Clemens Carpet for supporting my new show, Man Up, Saturday afternoon at 12:30 on the Truth Network.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
And so that's amazing. I mean, to overcome, you know, those type of infirmities, if you will, and go on to have about a 10-year wrestling career. Your wrestling career was about 10 years?
Yep, 1978 to 1988. Of course, it was never on the level of Nikita Koloff. I mean, I wrestled in some pretty crazy places, but I just never turned down an opportunity. Anytime I could get in the ring and work, I wanted to do it. The last half of my career was better than the first half because I got to work with some great people out in Texas whenever I was going to seminary at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And so very thankful for that time there and left from there to become a pastor.
So you were called into the ministry, hold on, going to the seminary, but like kind of, would we call it moonlighting as a professional wrestler at the same time?
Yeah.
Would that be fair to say?
Awesome. Yeah. My wife was a high school math teacher, and so she was teaching math at one of the high schools there in the Fort Worth area, and our two little girls were, one little girl was in preschool, and my other one was in second grade, and so I was a seminary student dad in the daytime and then got to wrestle at night. Best of both worlds.
That's amazing. And under the hood, like as the masked saint, yes?
Right. Yep. No, actually the saint. The masked saint came about because of the book, but whenever I worked as the saint.
The saint, but under a mask.
Yep.
Under the hood.
Under the hood.
The saint. I love it. I love it. And you know, I appreciate your humility about obviously, you know, working and we've talked. And I mean, you know, you worked with some great guy, Bruiser Brody and King Ice Parsons, right? And
Iceman.
Yeah, the Iceman.
I mean, I got to work against the Freebirds. Jack Roberts is one of the greatest guys in the world to work with.
Yeah, and Ultimate Warrior, right? Yeah. And Undertaker, and so you were in the ring with some pretty good heavyweights there, and I know you were on the indie scene for a long time. Now the independent scene has garnered much more respect in today's world than back in the days of territories, right? And we don't have time to go into all that today, but we're just going to have to get you. In fact, if you want to hear more of Chris's story, you know, he mentioned a book, a movie. He had handed me a movie, kind of somewhat of his life story, and the book goes into more detail. Go pick up a copy of his book, a copy of the Masked Saint movie. Chris, what's your website? Where could people find that?
It's themaskedsaint.com, and that's M-A-S-K-E-D, themaskedsaint.com.
So go to his website and order the book, order the movie. I would tell you, you'll especially if you're a wrestling fan out there listening, you'll enjoy Chris's story. And boy, there's so much more to his story. And when I say he was not only a masked wrestler, he was a masked pastor. He was a vigilante out there and correcting the wrongs and making things right out there in the world. Outside of the wrestling ring, and so, in fact, go check out Chris's interview on the Man Up Show sometime. You won't be disappointed. And so, okay, Chris. So this is there's so much more to your story, but this is called the Q&A with Koloff, and you get the opportunity to ask me questions. And so I don't know what they are. I know you told me you put a few questions together, but let's turn the table now and let's flip it around. And what's your first question?
Okay, my first one is this. Who was the greatest influence on you from wrestling and from ministry?
Oh, okay. Two-part question. We'll start with the wrestling first. I've got to give credit to where credit is due. Obviously, anyone who knows my story and the way I broke in, I won't go into all that. If you want more of that story, you'll have to go buy my book, right?
Yeah.
Nikita, A Tale of the Ring of Redemption. Just go to koloff.net, buy that book, and you'll get the full story. But out of the gate, Ivan Koloff, Uncle Ibon, Ibon. And Don Kernodle were certainly instrumental. I mean, they talk about making a sacrifice with the big behemoth, you know, Russian menace nightmare Nikita Koloff. Because the day I broke in, for the next couple, 3 months, we would travel to the towns early, get there 2-3 hours early. And I'd say they bump and thump all over the ring, teaching me the mechanics of wrestling. I'd sit in their corner and watch their world tag team title match every night. And then on the drive home, we talk about the old school psychology of wrestling. And so that's how I cut my teeth. And it was literally on the job training. So lots of credit to them. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention names like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Nature Boy Ric Flair, the American Dream, Doth Thero, the Tau Power 2-3 to be Thawa if you will. Yeah.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Hi, Nikita Koloff. Be sure to check out the Man Up Show, now available on television, broadcast, and podcast. Go to MorningstarTV.com or the Truth Radio Network. Check out your local listings, or better yet, download the Truth Network app today.
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries, for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his 2 CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net and donate today.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
And Rock and Roll Express, and I mean, just a number of guys, Chris, that I got the privilege of working with very, very, very early in my career that also were instrumental in my learning. Okay, wrestling side, ministry side, you know, surrender my life to the Lord 11 months after I leave wrestling, and I'm an all-in kind of guy, so I'm in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revivals, I mean, I'm there. And my very first pastor was Pastor Tom Whidden, who has gone on to be with the Lord. But then very instrumental, who is still my pastor to this day, Jay Stewart. Pastor Jay Stewart, 28 plus years later, has been like a mentor in discipling me and pouring into me his wisdom and insight and knowledge and understanding. And then there's been a few others that have come and gone, some of them along the way, an evangelist from South Africa. Just so many. Some that I've watched from afar, but have really ministered to me as I've delved into their messages. I mean, Reverend Billy Graham. I never personally met Reverend Graham, but if I watched one of his messages, I've watched 100 of them. And just gleaned and learned from guys like that. So, there you go.
Awesome. You ready for number two?
I am.
Okay. Is there anything you would have done differently?
That's a wide open question there, Chris. Wow, that's a wide open.
Well, this is shoot, man. This is the real deal here. You know, not gonna put you over. You gotta work for it.
I hear you. I mean, you know, at this stage of life, I'll say I'm doing my best to not live with any regrets. Right. I'll just start with that. If I were to pinpoint something or look back, you know, the old expression is, you know, hindsight is 20/20, and I don't know how true that is. I use that expression, others do as well. In other words, I can look back and if the old expression too, if I knew then what I know now, right? I mean, if there were things I knew in my younger days that I now know, certainly some of the relationships that I have had, I probably would have handled them differently, being more experienced now in the area of relationships. And look, I'm still learning, and when it comes to relationships, but I would say that just past and prior relationships and friendships that I've had that I probably would have, you know, handled somewhat differently had I had more maturity back then.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, what was your greatest match? I know you've had thousands, but what was your, we've all got that one match that just kind of stands out that, man, that was a great match.
Yeah. You know, to narrow it down, certainly the very first one that comes to mind is my first attempt at defeating the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, for the World Heavyweight title, the Great American Bash 1985, the first ever Great American Bash, Memorial Stadium, Charlotte, 25,000, 35,000, the numbers are somewhere in that ballpark, but a lot of people, right? Just a lot of people. I'm only 13 months into the biz, so the night I debut with an 11-second win in the Dorton Arena in Raleigh, North Carolina. 13 months later, almost to the day, I'm now donning the ring as the challenger to the world champion, already having won the world tag team belts, the world six-man belts, and now I'm wrestling the Nature Boy Ric Flair. Certainly comes to mind. Two others real quick. The War Games, the first ever War Games, is incredibly memorable. The Superpowers, the Road Warriors with Precious Paul Ellering against the Four Horsemen with J.J. Dillon was electrifying. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the Best of Seven series against Magnum T.A., the most talked about of my career.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, by the way, you know, I just read today that Flair's making a comeback in June or July or something like that, going to get in the ring at 73 years of age. That's pretty amazing.
Not surprised.
Yeah. Okay. tell me again. I know that other people know about this, but I don't. Tell me your conversion experience.
So the elevator version of it is I leave wrestling. My last official match, I think, was November 7th, 1992, against Big Van Vader. you know, Vader had a history of, kind of a reputation of being reckless. Well, he injured me that night. It was not career ending for the record, although he injured my neck and I got a hernia. Now, he was legit about 450 plus pounds, right? And I didn't know it till the next day, but I got a hernia, having pressed him, picked him up, you know, for body slam, whatever, and had hernia surgery, was rehabilitating my neck. It was over Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's holiday. And I had already determined in my mind the day I broke in that I'd be out of active wrestling. By the time I was 35, I was getting ready to turn 34. And I thought, I'm not going to go back for 6 months, 9 months, or even a year. I'm done. And about, under my own terms, no fanfare, no glitz, no glory, I just walked away, only to find myself at an altar 11 months later. And the reason being, the illustration I'm using right now is a puzzle. You put a puzzle together only to find you got the last piece missing, right? Which means the portrait is not complete without that last piece to the puzzle. It's incomplete. And that's really an illustration of my life at that time. And really for many people, probably even today, they feel like their life is just incomplete. The missing piece is that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I did not grow up in Russia. I did not grow up in church. But I knew the story of the man Jesus who had lived, died, crucified, rose again, living at the right hand of the Father. The story had never made the 18-inch trip from my head down to my heart. And I had met a Christian couple through a business venture that I was involved in, invited me to their church. 17 October 1993, I showed up, called them and said, I'll be there. And that was the defining moment of my life when I walked into that church service and walked down to that altar at the end of service, got on my knees, 11 months after wrestling, had an encounter with Jesus that forever changed my life and changed my destiny. And that's the shorter version that set me on a course I never would have ever dreamed of.
Hey, that is awesome, brother. And I am so thankful that he did because, you know, this part is never going to have retirement like the first part did. So
That's right.
You're going to keep going until Jesus calls you or until he comes back.
Amen. That is 100% correct. I can't find retirement in the Bible. You are right.
All right.
Yes.
I'd really love to know either your favorite verse or favorite passage of Scripture.
Colossians 1:10. Kind of become a life verse for me now. And in a nutshell, it basically says this. There's four parts to it. Yeah, my goal today is that I will live a life that's worthy of Jesus. In other words, a life that honors him today. And fully please him, not just please him, but fully please him. So my goal is to fully please him today because there's no promise of tomorrow. So I just got to focus on today. And so through my actions, through my words, and even through my thoughts, and sometimes I got to capture those thoughts and pull them down, those strongholds and vain imaginations, and cast them to the foot of the cross. So I want to live a life today that honors him, that's worthy of him, to carry his name, to fully please him in every way, to bear fruit for every good work, part three, to bear good fruit. And last but not least, part four, to grow in the knowledge of him. So I want to grow and mature, bear good fruit every day, at least today and every day, and then fully please him and live a life that's worthy. Colossians 1:10.
Awesome. All right, here's the last one. Do you watch wrestling today?
I don't. Believe it or not, like for real, like now listen, I follow it by how, but you know, I do a lot of autograph signings, legends events, Comic-Cons, personal appearances. Like when I just recently met you and you handed me that movie, The Masked Saint, and enjoyed watching that, by the way. And for those of you listening out there, go to his website, get that movie and get his book. I essentially, when I say I walked away at the end of 1992, I don't know that I could say at this point that I've ever seen any a full episode of any wrestling show at all. Now, you know, I've seen bits and pieces and clips and people post things on social media. And again, I have conversations with the fans when I'm out signing their autographs and they kind of keep me up to date. And, you know, follow a little bit, you know, AEW and Ring of Honor and all the different organizations, but I don't. I closed the door. I'm still connected. I still love my fans and still connected with them, but just don't watch the product of today.
Yep. You know, that kind of parallels my life too, as far as, you know, the opportunities of meeting fans and talking with them and all, but not watching it. Last time I watched, real quick, I was good friends with Black Jack Mulligan, and Black Jack was in the hospital over close to me, and I went to visit him, and these two huge guys were in there, and he said, "These are my grandsons," and of course, I didn't know them, Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas, I think.
Yep.
He said, they work for Vince, and so I watched it just to see his grandson's work, so I could tell him that. But that was the last time I watched it.
Yeah, yeah, it's a different product that's produced from the golden era of wrestling. But I'm thankful, as I know you are, for all the fans out there and the support of the fans. And today, Chris Whaley, the Masked Saint, on Q&A with Koloff. Go buy his book. Go buy his movie. I know you'll be blessed by his life story. And Chris, thanks for being on the Q&A, and thank you for your questions today.
All right, man. Hey, it's just an honor to be on your show, and I sure hope anybody listening that hasn't heard the story of Nikita Koloff, you need to have this guy in your church and have him come and tell his story, because you will not regret it, and the Lord will do great things.
Well, you are a blessing.
I'm going to just jump in because I have to ask.
Come on, Robbie.
I've been listening to all the... But the guy that you slammed on the ground, right?
Yeah.
His wife went to your church, right?
Right, right, right.
Did he ever come to the church after that?
the movie was a little bit different of... You know, that part didn't happen, but he came. He was not the same guy after that, and of course, he treated his family differently. And I would like to hope and pray. I don't know, but I'd like to hope and pray after I left there to go to my second church that he eventually came to know the Lord. I just don't know that answer yet.
So, in other words, as I was just thinking about the whole incident, that God is going to be the one that convicts him in the end. Of course, obviously he had a bit of a wake-up call in his front yard. But
yeah.
I'm
Which
just
was
interested.
Awesome. It was awesome. You know, I'm so thankful. One of the reasons I think that God let me get into pro wrestling was because I have such a high pain tolerance. I mean, I can deal with physical pain. It's the emotional pain that I have trouble with.
Oh, wow.
But the physical pain, I was able to deal with that real easy. That's why I was so stupid and did some of the stuff that I did.
Well, we all have our moments, Chris. But hey, you've been awesome today, and I can't thank you enough for carving out some time to be with us, and look forward to talking with you again here in the near future, okay?
All right. God bless you, brother. And you keep the faith, baby, not the baby faith.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Q&A with Koloff. Tune in again for another episode.
This podcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers, support, and generous gifts. May God bless you for your continual contributions. Go to koloff.net and donate today.
Nikita Koloff here, and I am excited. Did you hear the huge announcement? The big announcement? Well, maybe it's a minor announcement. Anyway, Facebook, go look up my new fan page, Nikita Koloff Fans, and like it and follow today.
Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com because you are number one.
This is the Truth Network.